Emerald Talk and No Facts All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah. You're back.
Well, you're back. Welcome back, Ann. We missed you.
Thank you. I missed you guys, too. You did a great job, though.
Thank you.
We did something.
We were a little worried.
It takes a lot of work. When you're a three-legged stool and one leg is gone and then you have to sit on the stool, it takes
you're
a lot of effort.
You're balancing the whole time. It's like a circus act. But yeah, hopefully we did okay. But we feel safe now. We feel safe.
It's
did
much
you
more
have a nice trip?
I did. Yeah, we had a great time. My nephews had RSV, so now I have RSV.
So it must have been a good trip.
So, you know, my baby nephew put his full hand in my mouth, so that, you know, was probably what happened there. But yeah, no, we had a great time. Did a late Christmas. My brother and sister-in-law got me a Tunnel Talk sweatshirt out of the blue.
Anna's looking so cool right now.
She's
so jealous.
Really cool.
It looks great. They got the logo. They put it on. I was so excited. So yeah, pretty cool to have merch. Just me, though.
Hope it's me someday. Everyone else doing good otherwise this week?
Yeah.
Anne has her RSV. Leah, how are you doing? Feeling safe? Feeling comfortable?
I don't have RSV. So
that's
a good plus.
Amazing.
Enjoy that. Enjoy that. Those clear sinuses that
can I get a supernatural update?
I should be checking before I get in here and see what it is. Because I always have to backtrack and be like, where am I in?
That's how deep she is. She's completely lost in the woods of Supernatural. She doesn't know where she came from. She doesn't know where she's going.
Well, Allie, I'm on episode 21 of 23. So soon I will have accomplished my goal and I will be in season 10.
Wow.
Season 10?
I'm on season 9, episode 21.
Wow.
Leah.
And what's the quality like at that point?
Yeah, did it end up getting better in season 8?
No.
So that was a lie that they were telling.
Yeah, it was a lie. It was not good. I would say that there are these moments of clarity where you're like, the supernatural writers should be studied by some sort of academic body. Like, what they are doing, they are doing things that no one else is doing. And you just have these moments where you're like, unbelievable. And then there's moments where you're like, what am I supposed to be understanding is happening? And you know what? You don't have enough TV anymore that takes you through all of those different highs and lows.
That's so true. Sometimes it's simply like good or bad. That's not what we're interested in.
No.
We need something unique and unfathomable.
Yes.
I would like us to look into for next time is which season Sarah Gamble was active on the Supernatural writer's room. Sarah Gamble, who went on to make The Magicians, a show that also hated its viewers. So I have to look into that.
You ever think about the fact that, like, Freaks and Geeks got one season, but CW Supernatural, just as many seasons as they wanted?
Well, maybe Freaks and Geeks should have had more battles
Freaks
between
and
heaven and hell.
Freaks and Geeks was perfect. Like, Freaks and Geeks was everything anybody ever wanted. They couldn't have maintained 15 seasons.
That is true.
Supernatural said to you, you'll get what you get.
Yeah.
And they maintain that quality level. Yeah.
Yes.
It is the simple fact about Freaks and Geeks is that I would not give up that ending for anything. So
yeah,
we couldn't have more of it. Whereas Supernatural, every episode you could give up so they can keep making it forever.
You didn't watch the finale and think, wow, I could never give that up.
Oh my gosh.
Although in a way.
Well, it'll be with us forever. We watched it together. We were discussing this on the Social Suplex Network Discord earlier. So go check it out. See what we had to say.
The one we were invited to talk about wrestling, and instead we just talk about Supernatural.
Well, I think we were invited to talk about what happens on our podcast, which is a lot of discussion of Supernatural, actually. So, we'll see if it comes up again later this episode. You want to talk about some wrestling?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, if we have to. Okay, this week, the Bucks fully debuted their new characters in a backstage interview with Renee Paquette on Dynamite. So Renee asked about the rumors circulating about the Bucks. This was a funny verbiage to me where I was like, I guess that's what it is. Even I at first, as a real in-the-know viewer, was like, what the hell does that mean? The Bucks responded, they asked to be called only by their God-given names, Nicholas and Matthew. They were wearing...
Their names were God-given, like as though God himself named them. It's like he took given name and Christian name and was like, yeah, that's just what it's called.
You guys want to check in quickly about, do another little outfit check-in? Leah's overcome. She's like, I can't do it.
What is Sharpay's brother's name on High School Musical?
Ryan, I want to say.
Don't you think that Nick was giving Ryan energy?
Yeah, yes.
I mean, the hat
see that for sure.
Goes a long way, yeah.
The hat goes a long way. I was interested, was it the same suit? Because it looked gray this time instead of a pure white. Does he have multiple suits? Did he buy multiple suits?
I feel like the Young Bucks would love to buy multiple suits for...
I hope he's signed up for, like, Rent the Runway or something.
Are men allowed to have Rent the Runway?
I don't know. I hope... Well, I have no idea. If they aren't, I think that's unfair, unjust, and misandry. Let them have Rent the Runway. And...
I'm not saying they shouldn't.
Men can't rent clothes now? My God, they're not allowed to do anything anymore.
Meanwhile, Nick, I think the close-up on the low ponytail tail plus the... I'm sorry, Matt. I meant Matt. I think the close-up on the low ponytail and the stash was not really a forgiving place for him to...
It was made very clear that Matt has sacrificed, in the immortal words of Louisa May Alcott, his one beauty for this look. And I'm sorry, Matt, you actually have many beauties, but to have tamed the hair, slicked it back into that severe little low ponytail, it crushes you. But I think that's what a good heel does. They crush your spirit.
Yeah, his hair shouldn't be low. It's got to be high.
It's got to be high. It's got to be loose. It's got to be luscious. He said, no. There will be no body to this hair. And I love that he's giving that. It's like a little bit like he went shopping at kind of like a Brooks Brothers type store for like rich men's like Saturday afternoon clothing. You know what I mean? With the little cardigan and stuff. Yeah. And that he went to buy the clothes and they were like, sir, please let us measure you. Sir, please just let us get you the clothes in the right size. And he was like, no, I'll take
both
these.
Both of them. Both of them are not wearing clothes. Both of them are not wearing clothes that fit. Nick's jacket was so small on him that he couldn't button it.
I'm gonna start...
menswear Twitter guy would be so mad about Nick's.
I was about to say, I'm gonna start tagging Derek the menswear Twitter guy just to be like, please discuss this. And he's gonna be like, why? Why would I do that? But he commented on Bill Hader's suit fit recently, so he should say something about our men.
And some MMA guys lately, too, because he was like, buff guys want to show off their bodies, but they shouldn't wear too tight suits.
I'd love, though, that if he comments on this picture, he's not going to say, like, they're trying to show off their bodies. He's going to say, I can't imagine why you would wear clothes that don't fit right in this exact way. It boggles the mind. They're perfect. Okay, so they said in this interview, they explained that whether the rumors are true or not, they've done what they had to protect their baby, AEW. They said Renee owes them because, like, they're the reason she gets a paycheck. And then they explained that AEW has experienced a culture shift over the past few years. Quote, because we started to lean on yesterday's self-serving, cancerous superstars. So they said Sting isn't part of that problem, but he represents... the aging superstar demo. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to say goodbye to him. And we would never ask anybody to do anything that we weren't willing to do ourselves. So Renee was like, do you mean you're going to be fighting him? And Nick was like, as EVPs, we'll pull some strings. And then they had to bounce because they got a message about some important EVP business they had to attend to. Also on Dynamite, we had a Darby Sting art film in which Darby said that he and Sting have their sights set on the tag team titles before Sting's retirement. What do you guys think about this whole new presentation from the Bucks?
As my friend Bree pointed out, if you are only paying attention to kayfabe and you are, if you don't know what's really going on, what it seems like is that the Bucks got beat by Chris Jericho one time and said, fuck old men.
Amen, brothers.
And I mean, honestly, like, yeah, if they start euthanizing the old men of AEW, like, honestly, like, yeah, take out Arn and Tully. Like, let's get rid of it. There are too many of them around here.
I haven't seen Tully in ages. That man can't still be backstage. He can't still be lurking backstage. No, Arn is still back there?
Arn is. Tully is Arn not. Is. I think Tully got involved with the prison ministry.
Oh, yeah. He got retired.
He got retired. That sounds kind of familiar. Well, we certainly have plenty of old men that they could take out. If that's the business they're in now, axing old men, we got plenty lying around that we could throw at them.
Just throw a cat, you're gonna hit one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like this gimmick. I mean, the fact is that, like, it's already made people so angry. And so it's like, please, I'm absolutely sure to let them finally make the jokes that they've been wanting to make and piss people off in the way that, like people have started thinking that the Bucks will never say anything and they'll never make comments. So it's kind of like, well, you fucked around for a full year, so now you find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very funny gimmick. Like, I'm getting a big kick out of it. It is funny to watch people, like, lose their minds about work shoot stuff. Like, suddenly everyone's on a different side of the equation than they were before, which...
It is absolutely wild to see people being like, yes, this is actually just them showing their true colors. It's like, okay, well, we need to do a real reality check. Like, some of you, like, someone needs to come door to door and check in on you and just see if you're doing okay. I think it's interesting. Like, it feels like they eventually were like, well, what the fuck? Everyone's going to yell at you about it anyway. So just actually do the gimmick. And I think it could work out really well. I had a great time. I love just watching them do a little new acting called, like, I'm a rich boy, but I don't know what sneakers are. I'm too busy playing the stock market. So I think it could be fun. I like it.
Yeah.
I want them with the discourse.
Yeah. I just want them to, like, have fun. Like, it's a, like, this clearly, like, they needed to be able to make these comments, but I do hope that, like, eventually what we're gonna see from them is them clearly having fun again, because been quite a year,
and they are much more fun as heels too, so I'm excited for them to go full heel. It's gonna be great.
I think when they're actively destroying aging men, surely they'll be having fun. I would be. I think they're gonna be having the time of their lives.
I want to see bits like, you know, Dustin Rhodes sees them in the hallway and, like, scurries away. Where he's like, not yet. I'm not ready yet.
I'm not 65.
They're like the kind of like a Grim Reaper EVP role for them. Please don't retire me. I have so much left to live for. Or it's now I'm just doing Kenneth in my head. I'm not finished with them, Jacob. They stay on this side. Oh my gosh. So they weren't really, I'm interested in how you guys think that the situation with Sting and Darby is going to play out. So we have this Darby Sting promo implying that the belts will be getting involved. Jericho and Sammy lost their challenge at Battle of the Belts, so Ricky and Bill still have the belts. But then also the Bucks were kind of taking attack in this promo where they weren't really, like, coming at Sting. Like, they weren't healing at Sting. They were like, Sting is unfortunately going to be a casualty in our war on old men. Where do you think we are headed in this storyline over the course of the next few months?
If I had to guess, I would say that very, very soon they're going to announce that Darby and Sting are going to fight Ricky and Jericho. I mean, Ricky and Jericho. Ricky and Big Bill. Then Sting and Darby get the titles, and then they hold them till Rev. and then the Bucks take them at Rev. If I had to guess, I assume that that's how it's going to go, but you never know.
Yeah, that's my guess too. And since you do leave the business on your back, you know, then you just get them over to the Bucks. So,
are you with us, Anne? Are you with us on one?
Absolutely.
I knew you would be.
I was with you guys on pretty much everything you said. If people were looking for me to excoriate you for your Wardlow takes or anything, I was like, nope. I'm afraid that's exactly what he looked like, and it was very cute. And
on this pod, the call is coming from inside the house. And you know what? Because it's not on the schedule, let's just check in on it here. This week, Wardlow gave a promo, guns out in his tank top, and I thought repulsive. Yeah. Put them away.
No. Yeah.
Put your sweatshirt on. This man and would never take my trash out. This he was man making... would never shovel my driveway.
No. That man is good for nothing. Yeah.
I wish that was his new gimmick where, like, he showed up this week in, like, a t-shirt that had, like, paint stains on it and, like, work jeans. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yes. Right?
Like, he literally looks like he had just been pulled away from repainting the kitchen for you. You know? I'm like... That's a gimmick I could get behind.
Yeah, like Wardlow and his girlfriend just bought a house and they're doing a lot of projects.
Oh my God, his chore day clothes, it's like he was out cleaning the gutters. He was fixing the siding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, wow. Mm-hmm. That's a man that I could put a lot of fantasies on too. But not these repulsive, bulging, glistening muscles. Ugh.
A man who looks like he spends all his time in the gym getting those muscles, so he's really boring and does nothing around the house. Like, no, that's not what women want.
That's not what women want. If you hear it on no other podcast, you'll hear it on this one. And to be clear, I would help with the gutters. I would help with the siding. I would help break the lawn. I would every other time I would go out and I would shovel the driveway, but not half the time, less than half.
I'm not shoveling. I'll do a lot of things, but I don't shovel.
Wow.
Okay. Well, you can take on a different chore that Wardlow doesn't want to do.
That's
Wardlow can work that healthy. Out. That's right. It's about equal partnership, you know.
That's right.
Exactly.
He hates unloading the dishwasher, so you do all the dishwasher stuff.
I always do the dishwasher.
It's about equity, not equality. Thank you so much.
That was a really smart observation.
We're not going to make it through. I think Leah, you are right. That's what I would do too. To harken back to a long time ago when we were having a conversation about who would have the belts at Revolution, I would
for
put
a minute.
Them on
I was like, I did think you were going to be like, yeah, I also would. I would unload the dishwasher.
Shoveling. No.
In the fantasy world that I'm in, we don't have a dishwasher because we're like starving grad students or living like I do right now with no dishwasher. So we have to do them by hand. And I will do that. Anyway, but I would also give them the belts and let them have them at Revolution. We do have to do that pretty fast, though, if we're doing that. Because we're
closer than
I thought
we were.
I don't think you want them to have less than a month with the belts.
Right. That's why I think, like, it's potentially, like, this podcast is going to come out on Sunday, and it will have been announced on Rampage or Collision. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's got to happen very soon.
It's so wild that Ricky and Big Bill still have those goddamn belts. It's just like, they're going to end up having
don't
a long run
like,
just because nobody knows what to do with them.
Don't you feel like they got acclaimed in some way where Tony was like, can you just hold on to those belts for like, until I'm ready for this?
Yeah.
It's like he's like fat. He's walking, talking somewhere, and he just dumps the belt off. He's like, can you just hang on to those? I'll be back. And then just keeps running. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm happy. I'm happy with anything. My heart is open. I feel like I guess they were at, we were watching, Leah and I were both watching Collision, but we skipped out before Battle of the Belts. So I actually didn't see that. So that never mind.
No, it was so late.
Yeah, it was really late. Also in the tag team division this week, we had Top Flight fighting Private Party on Dynamite. Which the match was fine. I think the takeaway from a number of people was like, they were like Mark Quinn and Dante had been out Dante. Injured, and that there was a little bit of a vibe of like they were not trying to get injured again, which with their specific acts, it does make for a different kind of program.
But it was very happy to see both these teams. I like really don't remember much of what happened, but it was like, oh,
You guys understand the finish?
No, I was shocked to see what you had written. I didn't realize there was anything I was supposed to understand about the finish. So please inform us.
Well, I'm the world's stupidest girl, and I probably should have like asked somebody, but like Marquen rolled Darius up, and he was holding the top rope, which I think is illegal. And Dante and Darius were both trying to explain something to the ref, and the ref was just like, what? I can't hear you. I don't know what you're saying. I don't understand. And like, I think that that's cheating potentially, but it just wasn't really, explained. And like, I don't know. It wasn't really, usually when somebody's cheating, like commentary is like,
yeah,
that was cheating. Hello, girls.
I was about to say, do you think if we had to take a quiz today just about the general rules of wrestling, do you think you could get a passing grade?
No.
It's not an open book test. Probably I think I'd not. Fail.
No.
We have been watching wrestling for 3 years, and I honest to God think that I absolutely would fail that.
But that we rely on commentary, as you've pointed out. Like, we rely on them explicitly saying, someone just did cheating. And then we're like, I don't know what happened, but seems like it was cheating based on commentary.
Well, right. That was like, bad. I'm supposed to, like, bad.
Like, what otherwise I'm supposed to know that grabbing someone's panties is illegal? Like, how would I ever have known that? So,
yeah. It's like when I was watching Friday Night Lights, and like the first time I watched it, every single time they'd be playing a game and like coach would like slam his clipboard down, I'd be like, and what happened? It happened for like
that must
the
have been
commentary
a bad play.
On that. Yeah. Like to be like, and this happened. I'm like, oh, great.
One thing I know Lord is knows, that I don't know. Coach ain't happy. And if coach ain't happy, ain't no one happy. That's what I know. That is us with wrestling. Yeah. So if Excalibur ain't happy, ain't no one happy.
That's why going to live shows is like a nightmare, because I'm constantly like, I don't know.
That's
don't
what
know
we
what
always say.
To pay attention to.
I do think that I always wonder if we're in the minority, and that anytime any of us have been to a live show, we've been like, and I wish that we had commentary. And I'm like, do other people want this? Or are they like, thank God I don't have to listen to commentary. I can just hear the graps. I can just hear the smick smack of the bodies on themselves and on the ring.
I still think our all-time greatest idea was that, like, at the entrance, they hand out headphones like they do at museums.
Just get Excalibur pipe straight into your ears.
I'm really imagining that it, like, they roll it out, and it's a service that no one takes advantage of. They're like, why would you ever do that? And we're the only ones being like, we're just going on a little tour of the museum right now. It's so nice to know what's happening. These stupid girls. Well, we like Private Party and Top Flight, so it's nice to see them. I think that's all we can truly say about it.
If there's one thing we know, it's that when it's nice to see somebody.
We said those are some sweet boys, so it's nice to see them. Speaking of sweet boys, let's do a quick check-in. This didn't even happen on an AEW property. Jungle Boy has reappeared from the wilderness. He emerged to attack Mox's son Shota, Battle in the Valley, a show I know a little something about from New Japan. And so he attacked Shota, and he had a big beard, and he put on a little armband that said scapegoat, and he tore up an AEW contract in the ring. So a little angle there, and it looks like our young boy's on excursion.
Yeah.
I love this
thing about
him.
That.
I think it's a great idea. Like, I think it's going to be really good for him, and I hope he stays away, like, at least a Forbidden Door, but if not, like, longer until, like, we're all salivating, being like, please give him back to us.
I'm glad you ended it that way because it did have a little tone of like, I hope he never comes back. So, well, that's not what I
love it for him.
Yeah.
I hope he stays away forever.
I want him to be doing such cool things in New Japan that it makes me feral.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I think it's nice for him to be in New Japan. I mean, it's still so stupid that he's been banned from AEW that I'm not as enthusiastic for it, but I think it'll be good.
I think my feeling that it's like, could just be really wrong, is it's like, it does feel like AEW is like, we're worried about what's going to happen when we bring you back, and like, we're not sure how to bring you back. I don't feel that worried about like what the crowd reaction would be actually, but I think that if they were like, well, this is how we want to handle it, that's great. And I think it will be really enriching for him. And he can keep working on his beard, which is just looking so crazy. And I love it. He's just a sweet, ratty boy. And he's in a bad mood because he's a scapegoat. So have fun. Go ham. Beat people up.
Yeah.
Love you, baby.
And gimmick does dovetail very well with the Bucks, so if he does come back sooner, he could rejoin the Bucks, and they could both be like little bratty furious heels.
Even if we don't see him again until
for the three of them, the Bucks are one, JB is one, so both.
We all know that. Oh my god. Yeah, I think even if we don't see him for a while, even if we don't see him until Forbidden Door, he could still come back and join the Bucks. If they're still ruining old men's lives, he'd love to do that with them.
Doing a little rehab on the tag division?
Yeah. They agreed to try to retire Christian. Yeah, he of course is on board.
Mm.
Oh my god. Now that is interesting. Leah, wow. You really made a connection there.
I'm going to get a good grade
Christian,
in podcasting.
An old man that JB has history with. And let's move on to another topic that has a little something to do with history, or history will come up in the topic. Well, let's move on to the next topic, shall we? Podcasting, it's never been easier. Deonna Purrazzo was on Collision and Dynamite this week, so she was fighting Red Velvet and Anna Jay respectively. She won both matches. She is our new daughter, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Omicron surge for Deonna Purrazzo.
Omicron surge, we ride at dawn for Deonna Purrazzo. We love Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah. People on the internet were mean to her, and she was very cool about it.
We think she's great and loved watching her wrestle. She's like looking angry out there. And that's what I like.
Killer.
I also appreciated One Nation Radio's segment about this, and if you haven't listened, you should go ahead and listen, because they were like, and to all the men of Twitter, the answer to people body shaming Deonna is not to be like, hey, I'd hit it, I'd have sex.
No,
I definitely would. That's not how you counter that. And so, in fact, stop.
It's wild.
Really classic bad online male behavior to be like, actually, I would love to fuck her.
I know. It's like, thank you. And they're like, it's so empowering for women to know that. And it's like, actually, no, you can keep that one to yourself. That's actually fine. Yeah.
One thing you could do is just talk about her like a normal wrestler. Okay. So, again, she was on Collision and Dynamite. She won both matches. On Dynamite, Toni Storm was on commentary during the match, and afterwards, Renee came into the ring to interview Deonna, asking if she had anything she wanted to say to Toni Storm. Deonna said what I would call the magic words for us. She said that she and Toni have history. They used to be like sisters.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that Toni has changed because her behavior is so erratic. And then she said, but so have I. And they had a little back and forth where Deonna was being like, I'm the best technical wrestler and blah, 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 blah. Toni got kind of worked up and was like, I'll deal with you later. Luther carried her backstage. Deonna had this great segment at the end where she was just kind of like coming down from the match doing it. I don't know what she was actually doing with her hands, but it was very like Meryl Streep prop acting, where in my mind, she's like taking some wrist tape off or something, like looking at the camera, like, well, she's wild. She's really something, isn't she? I was obsessed with it. It was such a good little moment that just made me feel like, oh, you know what you're doing. You got it under control.
it was so confident and like, yeah, just felt friendly. Like you're in the camera and she's just talking to you like your buddies. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
But also like she felt it, like it felt really like big starry to me, like that. Mm-hmm. She was just like, oh, people are always filming me and I don't really, you know, pay that much attention to it. But yeah, of course I'll chat to the camera and be like, absolutely wild what some people get up to anyway.
Exactly.
I thought it was great. What'd you guys think?
I also really liked Tony's back and part of the back and forth. The fact that she said, my past is none of your business, was so funny. But also she said, I'm going to hit her in the box. That's so funny.
Tony Storm, like, honestly, like, keeps finding new funny things to say and do. I'm like, I'm not getting sick of this gimmick so far, which is pretty impressive.
No, it's still funny.
I'm really on board. It just hasn't. Like, it just hasn't taken up that much time, and it's still fun. Yeah. And she says something different and crazy each week before she does her catchphrase, which is great.
Mm-hmm. When the camera cut to commentary and Tony was just stroking Nigel and just, like, petting him, but, like, in the absent-minded way that you, like, pet a cat, like, I loved it. It was so good.
Was there a thing that you thought Ian was Tony Schiavone and just kept being like, you've never looked better?
It was so, I had tried a couple times to be like, who is on commentary tonight that I don't usually hear? Like, there's a voice I don't usually hear, but I don't know who it is. And no one would answer me, of course. And then, so we're in this match, and I just haven't really thought about it that much more. And I was trying to start this pair of hand warmers knitting. So I wasn't looking at the screen at any of the junctures when you would have realized what was going on. And then suddenly I was, and I just lost it. I just fully lost it. That I was like, she's just been saying all of that to Ian Riccaboni. Is that how you say his last name?
I think so. It's really funny too because Tony Schiavone was just like out sick, so that was just like a last minute like decision.
Tony's
which
a good
is
improver.
Great. Yeah,
yeah.
The most important thing you can be.
It's just crazy how much this gimmick has like improved her from where when she was with the Outsiders. Like she was nothing to me, and now I'm like, Tony is like a cornerstone of the women's division.
I know.
I thought this was great. I'm glad they have history. I'm glad that they're going to fight. I think that'll be good. I'm glad we love Deonna and she's our daughter. I mean,
she's our daughter.
What do you want to see from our daughter going forward?
I need Britt to come back. I need Britt to come back. I want to see them interact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus like this match was really fun. It was just like fast and like quick and good. I mean, some women's matches are pretty slow, so it'd be fun to watch her like in the ring with Tony Storm, with Britt, like all those guys.
Yeah,
be great.
Yeah, someone who could really go.
Yeah,
yeah.
The other thing is, like, I know that there's not, no one is predicting when Jamie Hayter's coming back, or like, I think, you know, people have even been kind of dismal about whether she is coming back. But in my fantasy booking, if Britt comes back and Deonna and Britt are a tag team and they're like really killing it, and then Jamie comes back and is like, I'm gone for a year and you cheat on me, and then it becomes like this whole like war between them over custody of Britt, I would like that.
Yeah, I like so what I'm hearing from you. And that's all I'll say about that. I love what I've just heard and can't really top it. So the only other stuff we have going on in the women's division that we could check in on, we did have some further developments in the Saraya sabotaging Jeff and Ruby's relationship soap opera on Rampage, I want to say. Is that right?
Yes.
Where Saraya had engineered a situation where Harley Quinn? Is that her name?
Like it is Batman? Harley, but
it's no. Harley, not Quinn though. It's Cameron. Harley Cameron.
Harley Cameron. Okay, great. Harley Quinn, good show though. where Harley Cameron, I guess, kissed Jeff and then he pushed her away, but Saraya showed Ruby the footage like right up until like the kiss and then paused it. And Ruby was like, Jeff, how could you? And Jeff was like, it's not what it looked like.
He was bringing in a cake for her birthday and she shoved the cake in his face. And then he came out to the match covered in cake.
Yeah. My favorite part of that was John Silver being like, hey, he's got cake on his face. Can he wrestle like that?
There's no rule saying a man can't wrestle with cake on his face. Yeah, I got to.
That we know of. That we know of. That comes up on the test.
I mean.
We're screwed.
Yeah.
We're screwed.
No, I'm still enjoying this little storyline so much. Like, it's also, like, not taking up a lot of time. It progresses forward. Mm-hmm. It's pretty, like, funny or cute every time I see it. I don't enjoy Harley particularly, but the rest of it.
That's no. Great. I think more and more I'm really starting to, well, I guess I've been saying it the whole time, but I just really feel it now after we had our long experience with the end of MJF's reign. I'm like, if someone is doing something but not for very long, every week or 2 weeks or whatever, it's fine. They can do almost anything if it's not for that long.
Yeah. If it's for like 60 seconds, like, I'll watch anything for 60 seconds.
Yeah. When we're in a and some 20, of it I won't like, but it's, yeah.
You know?
It's, if it's not happening a lot, why complain about it?
Yeah.
We never will. Until probably I do about something next week, probably. Okay, let's check in on what's happening on the title scene. So this week, Swerve and Hangman both got backstage interviews with Renee. I thought Renee did some great acting during these. She loves, like, ending these little segments. Like, they're giving these crazy speeches at her, and she's just looking around like, okay, it actually has nothing to do with me. I mean, I would love to give one normal interview around here.
It's really, like, the one season that she was on Total Divas with Mox, and, like, every time someone started to do something dramatic, like, or get in a fight at dinner or something, she'd get this look on her face like, oh, no. Oh, I don't want to be involved in this. And then she would just kind of, like, not say very much. And that is her vibe, yeah.
It's a little like, she's like, I can see you feel really strongly about this. And then after work at drinks, she's just like, the shit that people were saying to me today, like, I didn't go into your baby's nursery.
But, like, my favorite thing about her is the vibe is, like, she does always want to hear it, though.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Right.
She's always going to be at that dinner. She's going to be at the table. She's just like, yeah. Oh, wow, are you guys fighting? I wouldn't do that, but I need to watch. Yeah.
she's like, the stuff you're saying, it's not what I would say, but it is entertaining to listen to. I will give you that.
She's so good. She had so many interviews in this episode. I was like, boy, she's really taking work away from all our other mediocre backstage interviewers.
In some ways, I was worried when I was reflecting on what she had done this past episode, and I thought, where is Alex Marvez? My son, in a sense.
And his, like, I'm like, yes, it was kind of like it was bad when it was like only men did backstage interviews, and it's so much nicer with Renee, but they've got to give Alex Marvez at least one little moment where he's somewhere scoop. He shouldn't be trying to get an interview from someone who doesn't want to talk to him.
Exactly. I think that Alex Marvez should be permanently on, like, he's in the investigative bureau. You know what I mean? He's working for Spotlight. Yeah. He's hunting down stories. He never gets assigned, like, a nice little interview. He's always skulking around somewhere being like, have you, can you give a little scoop to Alex? And everyone's always like, no.
They should send him to Japan to find Jungle Boy and, like, figure out what's going on.
Oh my God. And Jungle Boy, like, beats him up or something.
Yeah, because he's
be
bad
fun.
Now.
He's that bad would be great. Now.
I wonder if Alex Marvez can take a bump. I'd love to find out.
That is such a good question. Maybe we should ask someone.
Well, I just pictured us asking him and him giving us that injured owl look.
Why would you want to hurt me?
He's just looking at you like, I have children. Why would you want me to take a bump? Do we not have workplace protection?
The safety record around here.
Okay. Anyway, so in these backstage interviews, we had Swerve. Swerve went on this long, impassioned speech where he was being like, God could come down from the heavens wanting to fight. And I think, and Hangman could fight God, but he could never beat me. It was like, girl, you are up late nights lying in bed, staring at the ceiling like you're in an elaborate fantasy. God came down from the heavens and you envisioned Hangman with his beautiful golden curls stepping up to fight him and then thought, but he could never beat me? You are down bad, sir.
It's like, these are some elaborate fantasies for sure.
Wow. It's Renaissance shit.
The amount they were like bringing Swerve and Hangman like throughout the show to like obsessively talk about each other and stare at each other, like, I love it. This is the kind of threading.
It's all fan service, and it's so important, actually.
So important.
We also had a Hangman wearing a gold chain, and he hit us with this transparent lie. He said, Swerve seems to think about me a lot. I don't think about him at all. If he says he can beat me, I would say it doesn't matter because he's not the world champion. Samoa Joe is. I'll be watching tonight. And if Hook wins, God be with you. The biblical language that is popping up in the bleak midwinter of wrestling, I personally love it. But it is starting to, like, I'm hearing it more and more.
They're going to start throwing a behold in there. It's going to be all over. Hark. Yeah. Hark. You know, the crazy thing about the word behold, because I did my undergrad in like biblical and classical languages, but I'm the excited. Word behold, yeah, it's like they use it just as like an interjection in like Hebrew and then in the Greek and the New Testament too. And like it literally translates to look. So I don't understand why Bible translations aren't constantly having Jesus be like, look, the meek will inherit the earth, because that is the tone.
Jesus is fed up. He's like, you're making me talk about this again? Look. Shut up, Fives. A tennis talk.
See here.
Should we start a Bible podcast?
I'd love to start a Bible podcast.
And
let's get in there.
You can head it out. This is you will assign us readings. Oh. So you have a little more expertise. Mm. We'll read and then we'll just kind of kick it around.
It's kind of Sunday school style.
Sunday school
style. Well, it would be so interesting.
You'll be on his best.
Love it.
Because it would be so good though, because Allie, you're Jewish, but you were raised in a Catholic school. And
I went to Catholic school, but yeah.
And you were raised like Christian, but not
evangelical.
And
yeah.
And I was extremely cafeteria Catholic. So I'd really love to see what our three backgrounds.
I have
really
never
bring.
Heard the term cafeteria Catholic before.
Oh, really?
I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, you pick and choose what you want. You're just like taking birth control willy nilly. Yeah.
I only know Christmas and Easter. I know that term, but cafeteria Catholic.
A classic type of Catholic to be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. There's so many good types of Catholic to be. I mean, these old religions. Anyway, I don't know what we're talking about. Behold! Behold, Swerve also really went ham on his eye makeup this week.
Oh, my God.
I would say this is the week, and you know what? I love it every week, okay? So, Swerve, don't stop. Keep expressing yourself via the medium of eye makeup. This is the week that we went a little into Bucky Barnes territory for me. It was so dark all around. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Again, you keep doing anything that occurs to you to do because I love it every time.
Yeah, he's playing in the space.
Well, that's the thing about Swerve is that, like, it's so clear that when he experiments, he's paying attention to the results, you know? Like, mm-hmm. he's like, ooh, that's working, or that's not working. And so I'm like, you should keep playing and trying things out and, you know, bringing us things.
Makeup is the art of expression. You are showing how you feel and who you are. So he said, I'm feeling a little sleepless because of all these fantasies
It is very funny that Hangman was like, I don't think about him at all, because it is a lie, but after hearing Swerve's promo, like, a pretty good burn is, like, you are thinking about me a lot, like, kind of in weird ways, yeah, so.
It's the Mad Men thing of, like, what is it, I think you're a bad person, I don't think about you at all, or whatever.
About you at all, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Classic.
And I know. The thing is that, like, Hangman was lying, But if Swerve heard Hangman say that, I think Swerve would lose his shit. You don't think about me? How dare you?
Yeah. And that's the sexy, it's so sexy for Hangman to be like, okay, I'm going to no sell it. I'm just going to be like, I don't think about you. And he's convincing himself almost. He's like, and actually I don't. And it's so sexy that Swerve would not be in a position to like think about that logically in the moment. It would just be like, don't fucking say that to me. Oh, you don't think about me? Don't you fucking say that to me. Okay. So we got all of that. And then later, Samoa Joe versus Hook main event at Dynamite. This match was shockingly good. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
We weren't that excited for the Samoa Joe reign, but he really said, girls, I'm going to step it up, okay? And you are going to like it, and you are going to have fun, and I am going to murder little boys.
He knows that's what girls want to see.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm listening.
It's crazy. He, like, hadn't been fun at all this whole time at AEW. And then his promo last week, he was having such a good time. I was like, well, I'm enjoying watching you, which is confusing. And you're talking about committees in a way that I find entertaining. And then this week, he just murdered Hook right in front of me.
Yeah. What I would like, and I don't need it, but I would like it if some of the men would just say to us, like, there was a long period where Samoa Joe was phoning it in. You're not wrong about that.
Yeah.
He was phoning it in, but then he got called up to the champ scene and he said, okay, I'll give you the full Joe. Yeah. And I like the full Joe. I'm having fun.
We've been begging him this whole time to
if somebody would only be honest with us that something has changed since CM Punk got fired.
We just want to
changed within me.
Get men in a straitjacket. Just admit it. Just say it.
Just admit it.
He wasn't like this the whole time. You have to understand how it looked to us. We'd never met him before. He was giving us nothing. Okay. But now he's defying gravity. And me too. I'm having a great time. He murdered Hook live on TBS television. He murdered Hook to death.
He murdered him to death.
Murdered he killed that death. Kid.
I feel like that, like, that huge, like, big monster, like, is destroying someone. It's not usually, like, a match that I, like, enjoy that much, but this match, boy, I really enjoyed it.
You know, I actually think we have liked it before because we liked when Miro was doing it actually effectively before he was like, I actually don't wrestle anymore because I love to win so much. But we like when he was doing it. We like it when it's done well. In the past, we have. So I thought, wow, the bloodlust rose in me during this match. And I literally was sitting there typing like, what other twinks will they feed to him? What other boys will he murder? Who can he kill?
Is he going to fight Orange Cassidy? Because I'd like to
kill
see
him.
It.
Kill him.
My son. Kill him.
The amount that I know that Samoa Joe could chuck OC into the stands. Like, happy.
I hope he would chuck very, very carefully because some men have not been careful before. And I don't actually remember who they were.
Yeah, was it Keith Lee who hurt his shoulder?
It was Keith Lee.
Yeah. Keith Lee. You were on... That week, you were on thin ice with the girls. I said, you throw him safely or OSHA's coming to call. Okay, so
that spot where Samoa Joe, like, threw Hook into the commentary table, like, head first, I was like, oh, my God. And I think, I was rewatching it, and I think Samoa Joe's hand was, like, around the back of his head, so it really was not what it looked like. Oh my God. I was like, somebody needs to call somebody. Stop this. Can we get like a mercy ending? Like, what do you,
I know exactly what ending. You're saying, but I love that just now you were like, and I do think wrestling is fake. I thought about it. And I think wrestling may be fake.
You know, when the Young Bucks walked out and Sting saw them for the first time, that wasn't actually the first time Sting learned that they were going to be his opponents.
His face fell because he thought it was going to be FTR. But he found out with us.
Right on that spot.
That it was the Bucks. Young Bucks. He was sad.
Because their EVPs and FTR were standing at Gorilla, ready to go out and be welcomed into Sting's loving arms. But the Young Bucks EVPs came up and they said, step back. We're going out instead. And Sting was horrified. He was horrified. He never saw it coming.
He couldn't stop it. Yeah.
He couldn't. And then later, there was nothing he could do.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then later, the Bucks actually paid Dave Meltzer to say that Sting had wanted it all along.
Well, they would.
And I mean, anyways, they're basically in a romantic relationship with Dave Meltzer.
Well, because everyone has seen them kissing. Everyone has seen them kissing before.
The Meltzer driver? Hello.
Who hasn't seen them kiss? Raise your hand if you haven't seen Dave Meltzer and the Young Bucks kissing. No one does. Hands down. Okay, well, we've wandered a little bit. But I agree. It did look absolutely insane. And then when Smojo was just strutting around the ring, just great work.
Funny.
Had a great time.
Love that.
Funny. Love it. Hook did lose, but then he did a bit. He got choked out. Which I think there were a number of funny conversations about that online with people being like, it looked silly. And I was like, I think you guys are like UFC pilled or something. Like, you know too much about fighting. Trust me, just a normal, casual violence enjoyers, it looked scary. It looked like, you know, I wouldn't want to be choked out.
Yeah.
Like, just take my
also,
word for it.
Like, okay, that looks silly, but a moonsault looks like a great way to attack somebody. Like, okay.
Sometimes I can't. I'm like, y'all know too much. You need to step back and just take it from us. We've been watching this sport for 3 years. It looked like violence, okay? So don't worry about it. It looked bad. But Hook kept kind of staggering to his feet afterwards, like to be like, no, I'm not done. And Samojo kept coming back to the ring to be like, sure, I'll fucking beat you up again. And then eventually Hangman's music hit and he ran out kind of to save Hook from himself. Like, which is pretty funny to just be like, dude, just lie down. Just
little buddy, just let him get out of here.
Little buddy, just stay on your back. And we also got, we realized that Swerve had come out too. So he was nearby, like watching this happen. He was not trying to save anybody. He's just observing. And we had a moment where Samoa Joe observed Hangman and Swerve, and you got a little bit of face acting like, fuck, these guys are not going to leave me alone. And then he left.
Do you think the implication
of
Swerve,
of this?
Of Swerve coming out, the implication of Swerve coming out and staring is that he's just been kind of following Hangman around backstage the whole time, just staring at him everywhere he goes.
Yes. Well, because he had said promo earlier, he was like, I always have eyes on you. He had like a whole thing like that he was doing where it's like, okay, buddy, that's coming through loud and clear. That is really clear. Mm-hmm. And it is pretty funny to think about like someone just being like, Hangman, you notice Swerve's just kind of, he's like behind that corner. He's like watching you. And Hangman's like, yeah, that's what he does. But I don't think about him.
Yeah, I just try not to think about it.
But it's like weirdly satisfied where he's like, yeah, of course he's following me around. Oh. It's like one of those things where like the one moment like Swerve's not there, Hangman's like, where is he? What? Did he stop following me?
Kate Beaton Nemesis. Yeah. If Swerve didn't follow him around, he would be gut shot. He'd be rip shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's crying into a picture of Swerve next to him on the pillow. Why didn't you make it to our rendezvous? You don't want to fight? You don't want to sink my ship anymore?
God.
Okay.
The two of them.
Whew, they're really doing it like no Soulmates. Others. What do you guys think? Any other thoughts on this? You know, I mean, what can I say?
Yeah, I mean, I hope that Hangman and Swerve have some really sexy stuff going on. Like, I do feel like Swerve shouldn't win the title, like, at Revolution because of Sting's whole thing. Like, he should be the most important thing. But it's like, if Hangman wants to win the title at Revolution and then have Swerve chase him for a while, or, I mean, there's all
that's,
kinds of stuff.
I think that's my best case scenario. I think if I was allowed to run the zoo, it would be that they have a three-way at Revolution and Hangman cheats to steal it from Swerve and then goes on a run where Swerve is chasing him. To me, I think I would big time lose it.
We could have this romance go for a full year, you know, if you really, you know.
I've got the stamina if they do.
He says, I'm not gassed yet, baby. Still in the game. Interesting. I don't know why I feel like Joe's gonna keep the title at Revolution, but I'm at my leisure to be proven wrong. I would love if I do think that Hangman should win and Swerve should beat Hangman. I think. You know what? I don't really know how I feel. I think they could do anything. I'm like a little like,
yeah,
you know.
I could go either way. Like the thing is, I don't want Swerve to win it in a three-way.
No,
and
I agree.
I don't want Swerve to win it when Sting is the most important. So if they had Swerve, if they had Joe retain and then whatever the next one is, if Swerve won it there and then Hangman won it off of
Double
Swerve.
Double or nothing.
Like, yeah. I think that sounds right. Yeah. I think if Hangman eventually took it off Swerve, that could also be fun. So yeah. I don't really care who wins it first as long as the other is rip shit about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And Joe's been so fun, I wouldn't even mind if, like, before this, like, the I suggestion know. That he might keep it longer than the Revolution was, like, horrible.
Imagine,
to me, but now I'm like, well, you know.
I know. Fine. Imagine 6 weeks ago, we're like, it's fine if Joe keeps it for a while.
Yeah, he could have a good 6 months, yeah.
That he's been working overtime to win our affection and our approval, and he can continue working overtime. He is doing a good job. He is winning it.
Yes. It just shows how open our hearts can be. You know, we're really
so true.
Ready to change our minds.
I do think
all
that we prove
takes...
all the time.
It doesn't take much to win us
open.
Over. We don't expect a lot for wrestling.
No,
like,
not.
Give us a little bit, we're there.
Yeah. We have the backbones of chocolate eclairs. Like, we're one set of boyfriend sweatpants, and all of a sudden we're, like, making up fantasies.
Yeah. But it does, you know what, I will say, though, it cuts both ways. It's like, you can win our affection, you can lose our affection. That's the name of the game, okay?
Certainly can.
Yeah. No one is in there forever except for Dustin. Dustin is in there forever.
There's nothing you can do, baby.
Dustin will lose us. Dustin is knocking on Wardlow's door and being like, how do you get them so disinterested?
He's like, go to the gym, work out really hard, show your guns. They're repulsed by it. And Dustin's like, oh, that sounds like a lot of work.
That's a ton of work. I don't want to do that. And that's why you'll always be in our hearts, baby. We'll check in with you later. Let's talk just very briefly about the trios titles. So this week, the Bang Bang Gang fought the Mogul Embassy for the ROH titles, which the Mogul Embassy had and I had forgotten about. And the Bang Bang Gang won. Afterwards, the Acclaimed, who recently tried to broker peace with the Bang Bang Gang, came out. And the AW results recap said that they saluted Bullet Club Gold with scissor hand gesture. I think I may have been looking at my knitting at that point. So I thought they'd come out to be like, we're not on good terms now. But I guess they were kind of hopefully like, maybe we are on good terms. My personal guess, and you guys can weigh in, I think they probably aren't on good terms. And again, that Bang Bang Gang will win the titles off the Acclaimed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen people... in a bunch of different places, theorize that that the titles are going to get unified, and it kind of makes sense if Bang Bang Gang keeps ROH and then picks up the AEW titles from the Acclaimed and then unifies them. Sure.
The fact that there's two sets of trios belts running around when we shouldn't even have one set of trios belts is like, oh, what are we doing?
I think that's true. For some reason, I am having a little mental block where I'm like, so they just unify them, but then ROH has all these other titles that haven't been... Like, I just, like, somehow my brain keeps being like, that doesn't seem right. But I agree that it probably is right, and it does make sense. I'm not arguing against it. I'm having a personal problem working through it in my head. Any other thoughts about this? Just seems like what's coming. That could happen at Revolution, maybe. Let's move on. I didn't realize that Dustin's section was right here. As I've said here, well. Look who showed up to work.
And should we clarify again that we're talking about Dustin Chuck Taylor and not
Dustin just think
Rhodes.
People should know, but yeah, I guess it's fair to say we're talking about Chuck Taylor. You hear us saying Dustin, you should assume that it's Chuck Taylor. If it's Dustin Rhodes, we'll say Dustin Rhodes. I think
it is a fun exercise to just think about like some of the shit that we're saying and just people being like they really love Dustin Rhodes. I like that. I think it's a feature of our podcast, not a bug. I
not
don't think
bug.
That we should
no.
try to stop it.
We're creating shocking little mental scenarios for you to work through. Like, why did they say to Dustin Rhodes like, Dustin, we love you. Call your mom, Dustin.
They called
you
Dustin
could never
Rhodes
lose
their
our love.
precious little baby. That seems like a strange vibe. They love the gimp suit, I guess.
They keep calling him their sweet boy.
Allie, will you say what you said Dustin Rhodes was shaped by? A shape.
Oh, yeah. I did. Leah, you said he has such a strangely shaped body. And I said, yeah, like a frog walking up on its back legs. And then I realized that he does look like, I think our friend Nicole may have been right. There may be one of these in the Swan Princess. But in Thumbelina, if you search Thumbelina frog, you'll find some pictures that are simplify how I envision Dustin Rhodes.
At first, you just said that he was shaped like a frog, and instantly what I thought of was Michigan J Frog.
I don't know what that is.
Oh my god, he wears a top hat and he's tap dancing, and like he, to me, that is exactly what I was like instantly.
Oh. Yeah. Oh my god, you're exactly that. Of course, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love it. Now you have a couple of options. You can look at this one is kind of more right, but you can also go see what I was envisioning when I was like, what frogs do I know that stand up on their hind legs?
I think you said like a
sexy frog from Thumbelina. Yeah,
you said like a horny like frog.
Horny frog from Thumbelina. Well, I think there's like a I'm sorry to say it, but kind of like a predatory frog in Thumbelina who's kind of like not chill. Like his behavior towards Thumbelina is like really uncool, I think. So I'm sorry, Dustin Rhodes. That's not how I think of you.
No, you seem very nice. You seem and everybody great. Loves you. But you are built like a frog.
I'm going to think of you as Michigan J frog from now on. You're not horny. You just have a top hat on.
He's got his legs are weird and too long and disproportionate, and then he has kind of a froggy, apologetic look on his face.
Big body. But you know what? We celebrate it, to be so clear. We celebrate it. We celebrate it.
We love all kinds of bodies. Just like all the men out there, we say, well, maybe not Dustin Rhodes, but we would have sex with it. Congratulations.
Just passionate defenders. We're like, well, I'd fuck him. That's not what we're saying. And again, we actually aren't even talking about Dustin Rhodes at all in this segment. We are talking about Dustin Chuck Taylor, our biological son, who never calls home. So we don't know how he's doing, except that this week he did show up on AWTV because we had... Now, actually, let's not even describe it, really. And let's start with you guys had seen this... this promo that was only online that I had missed. Okay. And yeah, it is really problematic that you guys had and brought it to my attention. So let's start there. Now we're in the court. Okay, we're in the court and you're getting tried by fire. But did you think this was kind of a strange backstage promo? It was clear to me why it was only online.
They were doing their thing where they kind of talk over each other, but they had kind of a strange, like a little subdued energy. And then OC was kind of like, yeah, like other guys, like let them talk, like don't stop.
And nobody told the Lucha Brothers what kind of promo this was going to be. So like Greg did something fucking insane, and then they cut to the Lucha Brothers, and Penta was just like, okay, well I'm gonna do it normal. Hey, we're gonna fight, and I'm gonna do good fighting, and you're gonna lose.
It did really feel like in most backstage promos, even when they don't go that well, or like they're not good, you know, you feel like everybody showed up on the same page about what was going to happen. This literally felt like they got grabbed, didn't have any time to discuss what was happening. And it was just like, cameras rolling, let's get going. And they were like, what do you want? Every single man was just like, Chuck was going to fight, but then his foot is more messed up. And Chuck was like, my foot's more messed up than we thought. So Orange and I are going to fight. Like Greg being like, is that what you want me to say? So we're going to fight. And so we will fight. And then at the end with OC being like, well, I'm a little worried. And then Dustin's just back there being like, you fought him before, so I wouldn't make that show.
Well, Penta told him he'd never fought a team with no fear before, but Dustin was like, well, we have because we already fought you. Yeah, it was crazy.
Energy levels were at an all-time low.
I also really loved Greg being passive-aggressive, being like, yeah, you've had a lot of tag partners, actually.
Yeah.
Danhausen, Shibata.
It is funny because, like, Greg is, like, he's been doing a little through line of being kind of mad that Orange Cassidy is hanging out with Danhausen and Hook all the time, but, like, it never goes anywhere and it's never a thing. So, but, I mean, good stuff.
I do like, though, that it is, I think that you said this, Leah, or Sarah said this, something about, like, the real world explanation for why they haven't tagged together is it's like, well, you're both kind of, like, little bitches. You both kind of, like things your way. And it's like, Dustin is the one person there who's like, yeah, I'll kind of do whatever I'm told. So
that was Sarah. Although Sarah was very pleased.
Yeah. Dustin does surround himself with...
of course,
with...
They've had their big fights. So I know that you can stand up for stuff, Dustin. Dustin.
He does kind of surround himself with bossy little men, doesn't he?
He loves bossy men. Dustin Rhodes does. Okay, so whatever. They have this whole fight. Chuck Taylor's ringside. That's really the thing for us. Like, and I do feel like this is the moment where it's like, if you didn't miss it, we're girls. And we like Chuck Taylor.
We like Chuck Taylor. That was really big, important to us. Like, just a lot of... I'm so sorry to OC and Greg. I spent a lot of this match being like, and look at him just walking around.
And he wasn't doing shit. I love that man so much. Go King, give us nothing. Give us nothing. I don't think he even slapped the ring at all. He was kind of just chilling, just watching. And I said, thank you, give me more. Thank you, give me another.
He had to sit down because of his poor, sad, jacked up ankle.
Oh, his little ankle. And commentary told us more about his injury. Anyway. Yeah. So they have this whole fight. OC and Greg, who have never tagged together before but did so successfully, won. We go to get our best friend's hug, and then music hits. It's Roddy Strong with his little mustache and the Kingdom. So they come out. They march into the ring. Roddy, it's three on three men. Roddy's going, you know, eye to eye, whatever, toe to toe with OC. And he is like, you're so tired, you're doing tag team matches. You don't have the gas to keep that title. My title. It's my title. It was like, Roddy, what the hell? I guess I'm kind of talking myself through it. I guess that Adam Cole did say that they all want titles, but he is scared of Samoa Joe. Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
I mean, he should be.
Like, I love little. And I get silence after my compatriot.
After what happened with Hook, he definitely should be.
No.
He should feel fear, yeah. So he may think this is the easy target. I can get this title. So he says, that title is mine. And OC is like, okay, well, let's fight for it right now. And then Roddy said, no, we will fight for it at Revolution on March 3rd.
First he ripped his shirt off, and then he said, not now.
I love that I blocked that out completely. I did not... I pretend I do not see it. Yeah, so they're going to fight at Revolution, which it is very early to establish that. I'm not complaining, Tony, okay? I'm not complaining. Mm-hmm. Don't be like, you always say we do the matches too late. Now you're mad. No, I'm not mad. I'm just interested. What do you guys think? I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, the fact that it's established like pretty far in advance means they've got to do some intervening matches, right? Like maybe so. Dustin and Greg fight the Little Kingdom boys. Maybe we see Chuck Taylor wrestle.
Well, it would certainly depend on what's going on with his ankle.
I mean, it certainly would.
Do you guys want to talk about the way that his little sweatsuit looked?
So cute.
I thought it was the best fitting little sweatsuit we've ever seen him in. I was feral during this.
He's going to listen to this and you'll never see that sweatsuit ever again.
Fuck. Fuck. Cut it. Fuck. Bleep it all.
Dustin, the sweatsuit, it was hideous.
It was a hideous sweatsuit that hid his whole body away. We hated it. Don't ever bring that back.
It was very cute. It had the little chainsaw, himself chainsawing on the breast pocket.
Cute. Yeah.
I love his dedication to his little outfits. I know. But yeah. Did you guys think at the end of the OC match when, there was a moment where Dustin all of a sudden started limping and he, held his ankle out, gingerly. And I was like, oh, you're playing this up. oh, like you were like, ah, I'm hurt. It's like, are you like, are you just doing a thing where you're like, well, Bray's hurt, so I think I should get some, I think I should still be on sick leave. Because Ray Phoenix he's hurt.
She did say that thing in that backstage promo where she was like, seems like both teams are plagued with some injuries. So I when I saw that, I did think of you being like, Dustin's just, she's just playing possum. I guess possum. If Ray can't fight, I doubt that I can.
I don't think they would bring him back if he wasn't ready to wrestle. Because it's like, he's not an Adam Cole. You know, he's not a special boy to Tony. He's not going to be out here with a broken ankle giving promos.
Do you know that? I think it's a Toby Keith song where he's singing like, to the world, you may be just another girl, but to me, baby, you are the world. That's us and Dustin. To Tony Khan, you may be just another wrestler, but to us, you are the wrestler. You are the world.
And welcome to all our new listeners from the Social Suplex Network. You're kind of getting a good...
I warned them. Yeah. I warned them. I said, we are girls.
Who like Chuck Taylor. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have anything else we actually want to say about this? Any other thoughts? He may be playing up his injury. I think I hope he'll be able to wrestle. I think so.
Yeah. It was funny for Roddy to be like, that's my belt and thanks for keeping it warm for me, when OC has been like the only person who's ever had it, basically. Yeah.
I honestly think it should be called the Orange Cassidy Memorial International
belt. Yeah. That's right.
I think Roddy was giving DeLulu. You know, it's like, that's wow, true. You are not well in your mind. Okay. And I think we don't even have to get into that. Do you want to say anything about Adam Copeland? That's our last topic. Yeah. Anything you want to say about him at all?
I miss Collision, so I got nothing.
He did something called the Copen. The Cope Open. Well, he said Cope Open, but I immediately said Copen.
It's the Copen.
Yeah. The Copen.
Wow.
I think that it really was just this question we already hit on of whether Dustin Rhodes is going to get murdered by the Young Bucks. So
is his final push before the Young Bucks take him out. Because we are seeing him a lot for some reason. So
we're seeing a lot of Dustin Rhodes. It better be leading somewhere. Better be getting givered.
It feels like it would be crazy to show me this much Dustin Rhodes and not have it lead to him being murdered for being an old man by the Young Bucks, but anything is possible, I guess. The problem is that there are two Young Bucks and he doesn't have an old man tag team partner like Edge and Cope. You think that Keith Lee thinks that he's an old man who should be murdered next to Dustin Rhodes by the Young Bucks?
He went back to the gray hair, you know, that's basically.
We just get back. We're like consultants. We sweep backstage and we're just like, you old man, dead. You old, dead. We're like Renee Rapp. I'm ageist. You dead, old, dead.
Can I bring up something completely off topic?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Have you guys seen that new Willow Nightingale shirt where she's riding a unicorn?
Yes, I loved it.
Yeah. It goddamn rules. Yeah. Did you know it's the same artist who does Don Callis's paintings?
No, but that makes sense. It does have that vibe.
Good
for her.
Amazing.
Isn't that so great. Cool?
Yeah.
I found that out
just
before
recording.
Do we
know how she ended up in Don Callis's sphere? Like, how did she come to Don Callis's? Imagine just, like, one day you wake up. I mean, I guess this is kind of, like, our experience of becoming wrestling podcasters, too, a little bit. But it's, like, you just do one painting, and then suddenly you're, like, I guess I do wrestling art now. I guess that's kind of my thing. I kind of do wrestling art. That's great. Good for her.
Yeah. I think I'm going to buy that shirt. I like it so much. I'm pretty sure I'm going to buy it.
It's great.
You should. It's great.
I love that. Okay. Any other topics that I missed, that I failed to bring up, that I relegated to the grab bag and you wish I had made them a segment?
No, you did a great job.
You did a great job.
Thank you so much. Thank you to my women. I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
It was more Tunnel Talk than it ever has been before. Our theme is by Chris Krorkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord via a link in our Twitter bio to a link tree where you can find all of our stuff. It's kind of like I'm sending them down a little maze here. You can find this podcast the way that you normally find it, or on the Social Suplex Network feed. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, and come back next week.